Hi, this is a His Beloved Catholic podcast. We are so glad you're with us. We have a heart for drawing people, you, into the heart of the Father and His deep, immense love over you.
So we are two best friends who live across the street, and we have this podcast because we feel like the Lord is calling us, this entire Catholic Church, to revival. So you are here for our Advent series, and this is on the names of Jesus. And we just felt the Lord saying He wants to draw into deep intimacy during Advent so that on Christmas morning, you can run into His arms, knowing Him deeply, knowing His heart for you, getting rid of pain and shame and heartache, receiving healing and freedom from chains, and just get to celebrate the Christmas season with Him. Mm-hmm. We are so excited that you are here. There is a study that goes along with this. If you would like to purchase it, it's on our website, hisbelovedoftexas.com, and you can find that in the show notes. But more than anything, we just want you to let the Lord speak His love over you today.
Yeah. Come along for the ride.
Hey, friends.
Hello.
This is our last podcast.
Your face. Once again, I wish people could see your face as we record. I know it is. Oh, man, it is. So it's December 22nd and just a few days until Christmas.
You're almost there.
Yes. Y'all have done such a good job sticking with it. And I think it's so providential that our last one is on O Radiant Dawn.
Me too.
So providential.
When we first started planning, I was like, man, can we please do one about Jesus being the light of the world? Please, 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 please. Mm-hmm. And then when we got to the O Antiphons, we chose the ones for that day.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being O Radiant Dawn. I was like, oh, yeah. I see you. There it is.
Yes.
Let's do this.
Yes.
So yeah, me too.
Yeah. I love it so much. I love sunrises.
And you do.
I kind of wish I could hear the symphony of the sunrise.
Ooh,
that makes sense.
That's pretty.
Because they're so beautiful. And I'm grateful that we live in Texas. Apparently, we're kind of special to have the sunrises that we have.
Really?
Yeah.
I know, like, we have really beautiful sunsets. And like, I guess most people don't have those.
I guess not. I don't know. I'm going to Colorado at Christmas. I'm going to pay attention.
I kept trying to tell Chad that sunsets in Central Texas are different than Dallas, and he does not believe me.
Really?
Like, no, they really are. Like,
they're gorgeous.
I don't know why. I was about to say, I don't think I ever see the sunrise, which is funny because I'm an early
bird. You're up at 5:30.
But I guess I'm just not outside.
Maybe so.
I'm in my like dark room.
Yeah.
With my
We have like the back of our house is where the sun rises. So in the morning when we're getting kids ready, like even they notice, Mom, the sky is purple.
That's why I don't see it.
Yeah, that's probably
okay,
why.
Okay. See, my house faces the sunset. So we see these big, beautiful sunsets through our windows.
Yeah.
Yeah. To come hang out at your house in the morning. So you
should. You should. Yeah. But they're gorgeous. And just to hear a symphony of the sunrise of what it was. Oh, I bet it's just stunning. It's just stunning. So they're definitely gifts to us. And like I said in yesterday's Lectio Divina little blurb, I guess, just how it's a visible sign of a reality of God the Father and who He is and who Jesus is. And as I've been praying about this podcast, also who Mary is.
Yeah.
I think Mary can also be called O Radiant Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So as we have been going into Isaiah chapter 9, proclaims that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And as I've been praying about this podcast, light just keeps coming up. Light. And we can look back at what we've been learning, you know, mostly through the Old Testament of the people, the Israelites, what they've been going through generation after generation of longing and thirsting and yearning for their Savior. They've been walking in darkness.
Yeah.
Right? Before that, though, before the fall of Adam and Eve, we go back even further to the beginning of creation. The first thing God does says, let there be light. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the sun or the moon. His light, let there be light. So we are walking amongst the light.
He is the light.
He is the light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that in heaven? It's so bright and it shines everywhere. Like everything is shiny, but there's no lights. And it's because it shines from God.
Oh, wow.
Like His light lights everything.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
That is so cool.
Not sure where I heard that, but.
That is so cool. I love that. I love picturing in my mind just like what heaven could look like. Like the concept that there's colors in heaven that we can't even fathom.
I know. That's my favorite thing. Cause I'm always like trying to figure out what color it would be. And then right? Like, well, I can't figure out what color it would be.
Me too.
Cause it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
Like
here.
I don't even have a frame of reference of what that would be.
Yes. And gold paved roads. Mm-hmm. So cool. God is so good. But anyway, so talking about light, talking how he is the light of the world. And the antithesis of light is darkness. Yeah. And that's a reality too, that there mm-hmm. is darkness. There is darkness and there is light. You, my friend, are a daughter of light. We are daughters mm-hmm. of light. And
sons.
Huh?
And sons.
Yes. And sons. Shout out.
Turns out we have some men that listen to this podcast.
Yeah. Daughters and sons of light, of the light. And we are called to be lights of the world. We are lights of the world. So what does that look like to walk in the light?
Yeah. So one thing that I love thinking about with darkness and light is that where there is light, like darkness cannot overcome it, right? Like yeah. that's what scripture says, that
yeah.
the darkness will not overcome the light. But it's also true in like science and in, mm-hmm. you know, in life as well. Like if there is light, darkness cannot extinguish light,
right?
Right. The light will be there. And my family and I went to a cave last year. Uh-huh. And it was like in San Marcos, and we go down to the bottom of this cave and they say, okay, we're going to turn off all the lights. And they wanted to make sure that nobody had like a cell phone or a watch mm-hmm. or shoes that lit up. Cause they said, if anything has a tiny bit of light on it, it won't be dark in here.
Wow.
So it's like even the tiniest yeah. bit of light will change the atmosphere yeah. of this room. And then as soon as they turned out the lights, it was the darkest I've ever seen in my entire life. And it was almost, and it went on for a long time.
It was scary.
It was, yeah, it was disorienting.
Yeah.
And it was scary. And they said, if you, I can't remember what the exact days were, but they were like, if you stay down here for a certain amount of hours, uh-huh. Especially days, you will go crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it's so disorienting. Your body cannot uh-huh. like, cannot figure out where they are and what's happening. Right. And it was pretty scary after a while. I was like, okay, turn the light back on. Turn
yeah.
the light back on.
Yeah.
And then they had them.
Did you find yourself like, I don't know if you've seen videos of like babies, whenever you turn out the lights and their eyes get really big. Yes. They're trying so hard to see.
And there's literally nothing you can bring in. Like there yeah. was no light that straining. Your eyes yeah. can bring in. And of course we have Tessa with us, who's like 2.5. And I'm like, afraid she's going to be gone by the yeah. time I open up my eyes. I'm like, someone hold her. Yeah. But then they turned on one tiny little light.
Yeah.
And it just lit up the room. It wasn't like the full lights. It was just one tiny little light.
Yeah.
And it just felt very symbolic to me of mm-hmm. like the darkness and the light in our lives and how darkness is disorienting.
Mm, yeah.
It confuses our minds. It confuses our hearts and mm-hmm. confuses our bodies. It tricks us into believing things that aren't true.
Yeah.
And it makes us feel like it will never go away. But that tiny little bit of light mm-hmm. changed the entire atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Everything was different as soon as there was a tiny little
that's
bit
so
of light.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's so true for our spiritual lives. Like when we get wrapped yeah. up in darkness, how it can change our hearts, but the tiny little bit of light, like that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Is one tiny little flicker from the Lord to dispel the darkness.
Yeah. And if you think about it, so in the cave of darkness and in the tiny little bit of light, it wasn't gray.
No.
Right. It was yeah. just dimmer light.
Yeah. Cause right? the light is yeah. still fully light.
Right.
I mean, obviously you can't see everything.
Right.
But you can see the light.
Right.
Right. You can see that. Last year I did I told this story to a group of kids. I was doing children's liturgy and I was in the chapel, which is this beautiful day chapel at the parish. And I was like, okay, I'm going to turn off all the lights and I'm going to teach the kids like about light and darkness. Mm-hmm. And when I go in there to practice, I turned off all the lights and then I realized there were candles that I couldn't blow out. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, well, okay. And then I turned around and looked back and it was the Eucharistic candle.
Oh,
and I was like,
wow.
I don't need to blow that out.
Nope.
There's no reason. I mean, obviously I'm not going to blow out the red
right?
Eucharistic
you don't
candle.
Be that person.
I'm not going to be that person. But like, what an image for these kids to say, like, look at the darkness
yeah.
and look where the light's coming from.
That's so cool.
It's coming straight
that's
from him.
So
like,
cool.
he's right yeah. there. And I was like, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Like, I couldn't have planned that
see
if I tried, but look
yeah.
what you did.
Yeah, yeah that's fun. So cool. Not too long ago, I saw a pastor analogy or whatever on Facebook, and it was so good. It was really good for me and my, like, where I was in my life. But I can't imagine what all of his sermons are like because yeah. this was like insane. So he had two really huge ladders on stage, and they were like, scooted together to where it made like a huge M. Uh-huh. Right. So he got in the middle of him and he started climbing up 1 foot on one side, 1 foot on the other. And he kept going and kept going until his legs were like as far apart as they can be.
Oh my goodness.
And then he started preaching from there. And he was like, how often do we live with 1 foot over here in this world and 1 foot over here in this world? Yep. And I think that can apply so much, especially to what we're talking about today, living in light and dark. Mm-hmm. And sometimes living in the dark isn't even like actively pursuing the dark.
Right.
It could be not letting things come into the light. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, shame,
yeah,
embarrassment, you know, you might have done something wrong and you're just like letting it just stay over there in the dark. That's also keeping your toe in the dark. Right. Yeah. And he said, you know, you get to this point and you have to choose. Like, we can't be Christians on the fence. We can't be Christians in lukewarmness. God said he would spit you out of your mouth, out of his mouth. and at some point you get so high that you're so stretched that you need to step to one side or the other.
Oh.
And I feel like at the end of this devotion that we've been doing, the Lord has been guiding us in such beautiful ways to know his heart, that he's coming to this precipice of like, okay, it's time to choose one side or the other.
Yeah.
On the ladder.
Choose me.
In your life, right?
Don't choose the other side.
right. So that was really powerful for me to see.
That is powerful.
And I feel like we should kind of dive into that. Like, what does that look like to step to the side of light in your life?
Well, let's talk about darkness and light for a minute, because I think a lot of times we don't even realize we're living in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But in the darkness, that's where the evil one festers, mm-hmm. in secret, in quiet, in aloneness. And I don't mean secret as in like your secret place with the Lord. I mean like the secret shame that you have to hide from the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's where darkness festers. And that's where the evil one has a place of greatest hold over your mind and your heart. It's where he can whisper lies and you believe him, mm-hmm. because there's no one there to tell you otherwise. But as soon as you bring it into the light, and into the light can be telling somebody else, it can be talking to the Lord about it. And I would advise both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I think talking to the Lord is really powerful, but I think you also need to share it with someone else. When I was really struggling, when my kids were sick, I'd heard lies after lies after lies that the reason my kids were struggling is because I was a bad mom. And I had also heard the lie, and people had said that to me, but the evil one had said it to me also. But I'd also heard the lie that you can't tell anybody, because if you tell anybody, then that will bring shame on your kids and on your family. Mm-hmm. And no one will believe you anyways. So like, mm-hmm. why tell them? The other lie I heard, and I don't know if I share this one very often, is I was very active in my faith and very active in my church. Everybody knew my kids. I was a youth minister at the time. And so I had this huge conversion right in front of the eyes of people around me. And the lie that the evil one told me is, if they only knew what was really going on behind closed doors in your family and in your heart and in your life, then they wouldn't believe anything that you've ever preached. It would all be a lie. Yeah. Wow. So that they would think this was all an act, basically. Yeah. And I was so determined to not let that be true.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted so badly for people to fall in love with Jesus like I had, that I kept that lie.
Mm-hmm.
A secret. And I kept all of it a secret for years. I didn't talk to anybody about what I've been going through for about 4 years until Kendra moved in. It was the first time I really started talking to anybody about it. From what I've seen, this is true, but it's also my own anecdotal, like what I know to be true, is the first time you tell somebody something like that and it's received, then light shines in that dark place.
Oh, man, yeah.
And it loses some of its power.
Mm-hmm.
And this lie that has held on to you so tightly, all of a sudden doesn't have this.
Just uncoils at the drop of a hat.
Yeah. And it may not be gone, but it loses some deep, deep hold over
mm-hmm.
you. And then the second thing that you do is renounce that lie. In the name mm-hmm. of Jesus, I renounce the lie, whatever it is. And then it loses all power.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day I was talking to some women and one of them was saying how she was struggling with something. I can't remember what it was. and there was a lie that she was believing in her head and she said it out loud and her friend was like, that's not true. And she goes, I think you just need to tell me those lies so I can tell you they're not true. And they were joking, but I was like, no, that's real.
That's real. That's what Megan and I do.
Yeah, for sure. You do need someone to look at you and say, yeah, that is not true.
Yeah. There's been moments whenever I've just come to Megan and I was like, this is what I'm hearing. And I tell her and she's like, no, that's no way. Yeah. And sometimes it's regarding our friendship. Sometimes it's like life stuff or marriage. My marriage, not our marriage. Megan and I are not married. but it's so helpful just to have that person, who is also pursuing the Lord, to be able to like, no,
not true. Well, like my daughter keeps saying things to me like, I don't think that teacher likes me. I think that teacher is upset with me. And it's all different teachers. And I was like, I finally said to her, has a teacher ever not liked you? And she was like, no. And I was like, so what makes you think that's happening now?
Yeah. Like,
that's not truth. That is a lie that's being implanted in your head and it's causing you so much stress.
Right.
So sometimes we just need somebody to bounce this lie off of and let them say no. Yeah. But think of it as like that dark cave. And the moment you say it out loud, light is now shining into that dark cave.
One of my children, actually last night, this is kind of perfect for this, but I was snuggling them at bedtime and they said, Mom, and then they proceeded to tell me something that they used to do. And they were like, is that wrong? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
And just coming out and sharing that.
That had probably been swirling around for
Who knows how long, right? Yeah. And it was so freeing to be able to bring that out and like, oh, okay, let's move forward.
Right. Yeah. Because the evil one will keep that just rolling around in your head forever and ever and ever and cause all this shame. And it's not even, there's a reason to be receiving the shame, but once you say it out loud, then it's gone.
And this is a truth that is etched so deep in God the Father, that he gave us a sacrament specifically for this.
Yes.
And, you know,
and there you go. The other part, we didn't write this in the Advent journal, but hopefully you know it to be true, is you need to find a time to
go to confession. Yeah.
And now that it's the 22nd, 23rd, it might be a little bit late. Hopefully you've already been. If not,
go in the Christmas season.
Don't let that be a moment of shame for you. Because I've done that Advents where I've been like, oh, I'm going to go to this Advent service. And then we get to either we don't make it to the penance service for whatever reason, or you get there and the line shut down before you can make it in. Mm-hmm. And then I walk into Christmas feeling like the worst person on the planet.
Yeah.
Don't let that happen to you.
No.
Just find the time as soon as you can to go.
Yeah. I used to really struggle with confession. Whenever I went to college, I left the church and began to believe all the Protestant misconceptions of Catholicism. Cause that's just what I was around and that's all that they knew.
Right.
So whenever I would ask someone that I thought would be able to give me an honest answer, you know, they didn't know. So, as the Lord was leading me back to the church, I was able to ask, sit down and talk with, Bishop Mike Siss. He wasn't a bishop then. He was at St. Mary's in College Station. And I asked him about confession and, I was really struggling. Like, why can't I just go to Jesus? Why can't I just tell him? And this has always just stuck with me that, you know, God created us as, physical beings with our senses. We need tangible things, right? Like in the mass, we hear the bells, we smell the incense, we physically kneel to express our reverence, things like that. And God ordained it so that our physicality can be, can express, our beliefs and that sort of thing. So within the sacrament, God also knows that we need to hear someone say you are forgiven.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's the sacrament of reconciliation is a sacrament of light. I mean, all sacraments are, but especially this one, because you're going, actively choosing to turn away from the darkness, to step out of the darkness and like share, Jesus, this is what I've done. I'm sorry. This is what I've struggled with. Even so much as entertaining, these lies, I give that up in confession too, a lot. I've been entertaining this lie that blah, 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 blah. Cause that's it loses its hold even more. Mm-hmm. And what the sacrament of confession does is number one, the priest is in persona Christi and you hear Jesus say you're absolved of your sins. But it also covers you in grace to give you strength to fight that battle.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you ever, during the absolution, can you like feel the grace come down?
Oh yeah.
I can like,
yeah. It, I think like, that's why everybody walks out like glowing. Yes,
like the atmosphere in the room changes. Yes. And yeah, I used to love to just sit and watch, especially people who hadn't been to confession in a really long time.
Yeah.
walk in so terrified and walk out just floating. Mm-hmm. As you were speaking, I kind of got the sense that there might be somebody out there who has not been to confession mm-hmm. in a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And the thought of going to confession is terrifying. Or maybe you've never been before, period. But I really get the sense that there's one of you that has been. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, you had a bad experience, or you just have so much shame that whatever you bring there, you feel like it's too much. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to know that the Lord is saying it's not too much. And his arms are open to you. And he is receiving you right now and mm-hmm. asking you to come to him. And it will be a moment where you feel so deeply loved mm-hmm. and the grace is just waiting for your heart. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that was for, but it was for one of you.
Praise God. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. So with, you know, Jesus being, oh, radiant dawn, I also feel like Mother Mary is also, oh, radiant dawn.
Yeah. I'm totally going to bash this, but I think there's a part of Our Lady of Guadalupe's feast day celebrations where they do call her like the light, or they bring in light or something like that.
I
need to go back and look that up. I thought I read that yesterday and I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense, Kendra, with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Of course, there's like all these different parts of the tradition, but I think it's one of the
That's really cool. I don't know. Yeah. But just think about, you know, the Israelites walking in darkness, longing for their savior. And then she is so deeply entwined with the Holy Spirit that the Son of God, the Light Bearer, mm-hmm. O Radiant Dawn, is conceived within her womb. Mm-hmm. So she is also Radiant Dawn, mm-hmm. right? Her yes is a yes to the light in the world, coming into the world. So sometimes Mary, for me, I'll just specifically speak to me. For me, Mary was a hard one. Whenever I was coming back into the church, I really battled with, do I pray to Jesus? Do I pray to God? Yeah. Do I pray to Mary? I mean, give Jesus enough time and Mary, and, you know, it was very, very confusing. And so I kind of just pushed her to the side. Cause again, I was formed a lot whenever I was asking questions by, people who were just going off of their misconceptions. But as I've just slowly open the door to her, like this beautiful relationship has blossomed. And she just continually shows me over and over and over again, how all she wants for is for us to draw near her son, mm-hmm. and how she is truly, such a tender, loving mother.
Yeah.
Such a tender, loving mother. I just completed my consecration.
Oh, you did.
And that's something that I highly recommend. I did it once before with my husband when we first got married, but I hadn't done it since. And my daughter and I did it together. We just finished on December 8th. And there was something palpable that I was gifted to feel as I was praying the prayers of consecration at the end of it, of just forever under her mantle, forever protected, forever his as well. Like it just solidified it in a new way, in a different way. It was really beautiful. But start to talk to Mary.
Yeah.
Start to pray rosary to Mary. Start to invite her in. Start to ask her to usher you into the light further, to be a light in your life, to be a light in your motherhood, if you're a mother, be a light to the world.
Yeah. I just saw this morning, it was a celebration for her feast day. Someone posted, it was Father Patrick Gonyo from our encounter class. Mm-hmm. He wrote, "We don't worship Mary. We just love our best friend's mama." And I was like, that's really cute.
Yes.
Like, yeah. And I'm like, he's just our best friend and we love his mom.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it really all shifted for me when I discovered that all Mary does is point us to Jesus. Like that's all she wants is for our heart to be close to her son. Mm-hmm. And she's just always like reflecting back on him.
Yeah.
She's almost like a mirror where she's like, nope, look at him. Nope, look at him.
Yes.
Like she brings people in and sends them back to Jesus's love.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. The other thing that I keep thinking about is when we're talking about light and light, especially walking into Advent and Jesus being the light, like think of all the times in scripture where God made himself known through light, right? Mm-hmm. Like we always talked about like in the Exodus story, he led them with fire at night. Like he lit the way literally for them to know where to go. I even think of like during Mary's, you know, conception of Jesus, like light coming from her womb. Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they even say like probably during his birth as well, like all of a sudden there was just this light and he was there. Like there was probably no, you know, birthing pains and all the things. Think about like during his resurrection, the light was so intense that it emblazoned his face on the, on the towel. What do you call them? Like the cloth.
Shroud of Turin.
Yeah, the shroud. That's the word. There you go. I was like, what do you call that thing? but the shroud of Turin had his face on it afterwards. Mm-hmm. And there's all these images of like the light bursting out of the tomb, the ground shakes and the stone rolls away. And then on the flip side of that, when Jesus died, the entire world went dark.
Mm.
Like the light had been extinguished from the world.
Yeah.
And now there is only darkness. And I always think like, what did those people think when everything went dark? What, like, oh my goodness, what have we done? Yeah. They had to have been like, this is, we have truly killed the Lord.
Yeah.
But then, and this one probably most importantly, the wise men were drawn to Jesus in the manger by light.
By light.
Right?
The star.
The
star.
The light, this star, this bold star is what brought them. It awakened in their hearts something that was happening.
Yeah.
It showed them that there was something meaningful happening in this moment that has never happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even like go back and read some of the, you know, there's like research that's been done on that light and how, when it's shown, and they've also
on the star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, just thinking about this light coming into the world and this light being this thrill of hope that they've been waiting for.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have been on Facebook this morning, but, a dear sweet friend of ours that we have known for many, many years, her little girl has cancer. And we really walked this journey with her when she was younger. And it's now been about, I guess, 7 years of her being sick. And she's now nearing the end of her journey. And this morning she dressed like St. Lucy for St. Lucy's Day.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure I can say this out loud without crying. And so we're recording this on St. Lucy's feast day, which is loose is light, right? And the way St. Lucy is typically honored is by lighting candles and wearing candles on your head. And so she dressed like St. Lucy, she said, for the very last time.
Oh.
And so here's this beautiful image of this little girl with, you know, the crown on and the St. Lucy clothing. And her mom said, I have such deep hope. Even though there's sadness, there's so much joy because I know that before long she'll get to have tea with St. Lucy face to face.
Oh my gosh.
And I hope she's okay with me sharing that. So I'm not sharing her name, but all I could think of when I read that is the hope of the coming of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what we have been, you know, like waiting for, this hope of Advent, that she doesn't have to live in fear and darkness and of course her heart is breaking and their entire family is, but there's so much joy too, because they know where their daughter is going.
Mm-hmm.
They know they will see her again. They know that Jesus has come and he has paid the ultimate price for her to fling open the gates of heaven so that she can be with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's like to go through what they are going through. And I surely don't know how anybody could do that without that hope.
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone makes it through a loss like that.
Yeah.
If they don't know the hope of Jesus.
Yeah.
And we saw them not that long ago and they don't live where we live anymore. So we don't see them very often. And when we did see them, there was so much joy.
Yeah. So much joy.
It was maybe like the best day I've had all year. Yeah.
So much joy.
Because they're just, there is like light radiating from them, their entire family. There's just this light, this like glow about them because they know their hope is in Jesus.
Yeah.
And they're so deeply rooted in following him
right
now through all of this really hard time.
Mm-hmm.
So it just reminded me of like, you know, I was talking about last time, this thrill of hope in a weary world. Like that's it.
Yeah. And it's thrill of hope of a savior, not thrill of hope of someone who will, make life easier.
Right.
Right. Because that's not true.
Yeah. You know? It's not a thrill of hope of a perfect life.
Right.
Because this is far from perfect.
Right. Right. Within the light, there is suffering, but the light gives us purpose in our suffering.
Yeah.
The light gives us reason in our suffering. The light gives us hope for what's to come after the suffering.
Yeah. And I heard one time that hope is almost like a place in heaven.
Mm.
Like you can look at hope as not necessarily like, I hope something's going to happen, but like a real tangible, I have hope because I know the Lord has already made a space for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of hope that they're holding on to right now is like, this is the hope that our daughter gets to be face to face with Jesus before long.
Wow.
And that, whew, that's a hard hope to carry.
Yeah.
But it just, it gave me a lot of peace and joy and also a tinge of sadness. I mean, I'm being honest, like it hurts my heart to think of them having to go through what they're going through.
Yeah.
But such a gift to this world that they're sharing it with us.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Thank you.
So we're almost there, y'all. I hope that the Lord is encountering you so deeply through this.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, whenever you get to go to Mass and celebrate his birth, that you are just exploding with joy.
Mm-hmm.
The joy of the Savior, the hope that he has given you, the joy that you never have to live one ounce of this life alone without him, that he will always be there, always holding your hand, that the joy that you know him deeper now than you ever have before.
Mm-hmm.
I just pray that joy abounds in your heart and in your family.
Yeah.
And like Kendra said, even if this holiday is a hard one, because I know there's a lot of you who are having hard holidays, I pray that you still see that joy and that hope through him.
Yeah. And there's an invitation here as well. An invitation to crack the door just a little bit to allow his light in.
Yes.
An invitation to say, yes, Jesus.
Fling that door open.
I want your, for sure. Just go ahead, fling the door open. For some of you, it might be a little hard.
Yeah.
But he is safe.
Mm.
He is good. And his light can penetrate every crack, crevice,
right,
hidden place. You just have to allow it.
There's nothing his light cannot consume.
Yeah.
There is no darkness his light cannot consume.
Yep.
And if you're hearing a lie that says what I'm dealing with is too dark for him,
mm-hmm.
renounce it and send it to the foot of the cross because there's nothing he cannot overcome.
Amen. Yep. Go dance in his light.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bye, friends.
Bye. Oh, Merry Early Christmas.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us today, friends. We are so excited to do this study with you, to hear about the way the Lord is speaking to you. And if you have the Lord moving in your heart, let us know. And make sure to join us tomorrow when the activation drops, and we'll see you soon.